You are listening to Agent Court Church's audio podcast. The following message, Songs of Christmas, Zachariah's Song, was presented on Sunday, December 11th, 2016, by Pastor Jonathan Smith. For more information on Agent Court Church, including service times, how to connect, and campus locations, please visit our website at onechurch.to.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Problem here this morning? Yeah. I mean, last weekend, I was speaking at a different church. We were helping out. Dr. Van had already been helping a church in Toronto that had gone through a difficult time, and we were just speaking, and someone, when I was working out at the gym this week, said to me, someone from this church came along and said, "Oh, Pastor Jonathan, I know what Pastor Keith is getting you for Christmas." So I went online, because apparently last week in his message, he told you, that he's going to be getting me a bottle of shampoo and conditioner. So immediately, it sounded a little useless at first to me, because I do have a different state of being with my follicle hair. But, you know, do you like it on me? Is it looking good, you know? But I willed it. I just willed it to grow. That's how you do it, guys. You just will it to grow. And it grew back so I could enjoy that gift. Like, my friend is going to give me a gift of shampoo and conditioner. And a haircut. Okay, well, let's do that now. We'll cut the hair right now. And, you know, maybe some of you can do that for real. I don't know that. But, hey, last week we talked about Mary's song. And if you didn't see it, you can go online like I did. And review last week's message. As Mary magnified the Lord, and I love that, instead of in the middle of what she could have had such anxiety and worry, she chose to magnify the Lord in the middle of that. This week, we're going to look at Zachariah's song. And as I tell the story, I want you to be thinking of two words in particular throughout the whole message here, and it'll come together. The first word is this: plan. Can everybody say the word plan? God has a plan. Remember that. God has a plan for our church. God has a plan for this world. God has a plan for your family. God has a plan for every individual in this room. I mean, God has a... Here's the second word. Pace. God has a pace for his plan. God has a timing for his plan. And it's so well highlight it in the story of Zechariah's song. And in really, to understand the song of Zechariah, you really need to understand the story behind the song. So I am going to ask for some help today, because I have lots of kids in the house, and you guys were amazing. And the teenagers and the worship teams, it's been such a great weekend already. But I wanted some help. There's some names and words I'm going to say throughout the story. And when I do, I'd like you to respond. Like, in the story, we're going to mention Elizabeth a few times. Elizabeth was the wife of Zechariah. So when her name comes, I'm going to hold up a little sign, because the nickname for Elizabeth is Libby. So when I say Elizabeth, I want you to say Libby, but don't say Libby. Say it like you're saying Yippee, okay? So let's practice this. So Zechariah is married to
Libby.
Not bad, 11:15 a.m., well done. And then at another point in the message, I'm going to mention, because all throughout the text, the priests come up. The word priest or priest comes up. It's very intricate to the story. So I thought, nothing says priest more than these two words. Okay, can we say it together? Cool dudes. Yeah, see, I know you don't think, you know, I know you look at the front row and you think, how can that be cool? But I want you to know, Pastor Keith is cool. And Dr. Van is Dr. Van. But when we're talking about, whenever I say the word priest, I'll hold this up and you'll say, but you got to say it like this: cool dudes. Okay, let's practice that. So there were some priests.
Cool dudes.
Okay, and Zechariah was married to Elizabeth.
Libby.
Libby. Yeah, that's how it should be. Libby. And at the end of the message, we're going to come to our hero. And his name is Jesus. And when I mention the name Jesus, I like everyone to go, yay!
Yay!
Oh, okay, we can do better than that. So, Jesus.
Yay!
Okay, we're ready to tell our story. Here's the background behind the story of Zechariah's song. And for about 400 years, there had been silence. God hadn't spoken. Historically, in the Old Testament, God spoke through kings and prophets. And then there's these 400 years of silence where God didn't speak about the coming Messiah to them. They prayed, they asked for the coming Messiah, but it was silent on the end. You ever feel that with God? Sometimes maybe being silent when you're asking or you're looking for direction. Well, the children of God for 400 years had experienced silence. Then all of a sudden, in a very unexpected way, God's plan begins to unfold with an old priest, a 15-year-old woman that was a new mother, Mary, and this very old woman who was a new mother named Elizabeth. And in the story, what happens is God's plan begins to unfold. It's interesting, the characters. There you go. It's interesting, the characters God chooses to use in the Christmas story. In fact, on the surface, they're rather unimpressive. Not unlike when Jesus chose his 12 disciples. They were all young disciples. They were all, I'm not sure what that was for. Oh, Jesus, yeah, well, you got that. Okay, you win. Dr. Van's got a prize for you after the service. I don't know what it is, but go ahead and ask him for something. When his disciples were chosen, they were all young adult males from the Hicks. They were not an impressive group of people, and they changed the world. It reminds me, the prophet Zechariah in chapter 4, verse 8 of his Old Testament Bible book says this. It says, "Do not despise the day of small things." I love that God's plan often starts with small things. You might be very young today, and you think, what can God do with me? God has a plan for your life. You might be very old today, and you'll see in a moment, those who are old are intricately a part of the Christmas story, part of God's plan. And you're wondering, what can God do with me now? God has a plan. Be bold. Grab hold. Never forget, God works through small things to accomplish large things. See, God is coming into human history to redeem the world, and he'll do it through a smaller nation, Israel, and he'll change the nation of Israel through people like Zechariah and his family. God uses small things to accomplish large things. He does things in individuals while he's doing things in groups. That's how God works. So if you have your Bible, we're going to go through a bunch of scripture today found in Luke chapter 1, where we see the story of Zechariah. Are you ready to go? Here it goes. Verse 5, we're going to start. It starts this way. It says, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest." Lame. Let's try that again. Like, pretend like that didn't happen. "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to a priestly division of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and decrees blamelessly." A little background here. At this time in Israel, there were 18,000 priests in Israel. And so they spread out all over the nation, and twice a year, each of them had a job. They had to come to Israel or to Jerusalem for 1 week to serve in the temple twice a year. That was their job. So Zechariah lives outside of Jerusalem, and he's going in to serve as a priest. It was his turn. But notice I missed that. Serve as a priest, because it was his turn. Notice what Luke says. Of Zechariah and his wife, it says this: "They observed all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly." Now, this is important. When it says it, it's not saying that they were perfect, but these were God-fearing people, good-living people, desiring to follow after God and his will for their life. And what makes that an interesting point is he goes on to say in verse 7 that they were a very old couple. He's making a point. These people are in their 80s. I want you to know that at this time. This is a very old couple, and they were childless. Now, why is that significant? Well, it's unfortunate when a couple cannot have a child because of reasons beyond their control. But in that day and culture, that was a sign that made you question whether God even loved you. And here's a minister in a community that everyone would be looking at and say, how can you be the man of God and not experience the blessing of God? And Luke wants us to know that these were good living people. And yet, not everything came together at the time that they had wished it would. So here we are. Imagine Zechariah and his wife. They live a very public life, but you'll see in the text, there's a shame they carry. There's a shame that they weren't able to have children, and they're both very old. Verse 8 says this, when Zechariah's division was on duty, he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all assembled worshipers were praying outside. So here's how this would happen. 18,000 priests. They come twice a year to Jerusalem to serve in the temple. And of those who came, they threw the names literally almost in a hat. It was like that. And they drew names. Who would be the priest that would be chosen to go into the Holy of Holies? Now, kids, what that means, the Holy of Holies, was a special sacred spot where God meant. And not anyone could just walk in there. You had to be chosen. So this is the pinnacle of Zechariah's career. He's very old. He could go to the grave and never go into the Holy of Holies. That was quite possible. It happened. And this was true. Once you're chosen, your name came out, you would never be chosen again. This was the moment. He draws his name, and he's chosen to go into the Holy of Holies. And Zechariah, he would have heard, he's never seen it in the Holy of Holies, but he would have heard from others who had been there, where everything was located. He would have heard where the altar of incense was and how to burn the incense and how to bring the prayers of the people, because one of the biggest jobs of the priest was to bring the prayer of the people, a hope that a Messiah would come. So Zechariah goes into this Holy of Holies, and you know, if there was a manual on it, he had read it. But he was shocked when he got in there. Because nowhere in the manual did it say to the right of the altar of incense, there was going to be an angel. But when he walked in the Holy of Holies, nobody could see him in there. And he encounters an angel. I mean, this would have just caused him to fall back. Look what it says in verse 12. Can you imagine this? When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." You know what's interesting is over and over in the Bible, when somebody encounters an angel, they have this moment of fear. This is a being that demands respect, powerful. And Zechariah must have sensed this and allowed him to calm down. And Zechariah said, or the Gabriel, the angel, said this, said, "Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." Interesting when it says, "Your prayer has been heard." Which prayer? The prayer for a baby? I mean, for years, Elizabeth and Zechariah would have been praying for a child, but I guarantee you those prayers had long since stopped. The interesting word there for prayer that Luke uses, the little Greek word, means literally in the recent past, a singular event. In other words, get this. He walks in and he's praying for a coming Messiah, and the angel Gabriel's there and he says, "It's going to happen. It's going to happen in this day and in this age." And here's the beautiful thing about how God works. God prepares the world for salvation. And he says, it's going to happen. And by the way, your wife is also going to have a child. It's amazing. God's concerned with the crowd, the world. But he's also concerned about his wife and Zechariah. It's incredible how God can answer a prayer for an individual and it benefits a crowd. And how God can answer a prayer for the crowd and it benefits an individual. You know, it's interesting in the narrative here, when you see this at work, the angel Gabriel turns to Zechariah and says this in verse 14. In the middle of all of this unfolding of the greatest event in human history, he says this, "By the way, your son will be a joy and delight for you." I love how God can speak to an individual and something that's very important to them, even when there's bigger stuff going on in the world. You know, sometimes, friends, when God is speaking and you look around this world and you see war-torn areas in the Middle East and you can think, why would God care about me getting a job? He does. He does. He can handle both. They both matter. He has a plan and he has a pace that he's unfolding. When we pray as a church community, Lord, make us a loving and unified community. You know when you pray that? I'm sure you do. I pray you do. Wouldn't that be nice to be just a loving church and a unified church? I mean, that's how they'll know that we are from Jesus, because we'll see our love one for the other. Here's the interesting thing. When you pray for our church community that way, not only does the church become more loving and unified, but you do. Oh, when you pray for the group, God changes the individual. When I take a step closer to God, my family gets impacted. When I take a step closer to God, my church community gets impacted. When I press into the things of God, the people I work with get impacted. God works through individuals to accomplish his plan in groups and crowds. And God works in crowds like this to accomplish his plan in individuals like you this morning. I love how God works. In verse 18, the angel goes on to talk about what John the Baptist is going to do. And John will be, because the angel says, Gabriel says to Zechariah, when you have a son, call him John, because it means the Lord's favor is on him. And in verse 18, it says this, Zechariah says to the angel, in response to all of this, remember, he's just walked into the Holy of Holies. He's seen an angel. The angel has said, the Messiah is coming, and by the way, you're going to be a dad. It's a lot to take in. And Zechariah says this, how can I be sure of this? And Gabriel's displeased with his response, because really he wants another sign. And Gabriel's going, look, man, you're in the Holy of Holies. I'm here. You know, an angel is here. Dude, I am the sign. What more do you need? In fact, in verse 19, Gabriel gets right to the point. He says this, let me be clear on who I am in response to you asking for a sign. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, Zechariah, and I've been sent from that presence to speak to you and to tell you the good news in the Holy of Holies, where for hundreds of years, priests have been praying for the redemption of Israel and the coming of the Messiah. And so, Zechariah, you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. Can you say at their appointed time? At their appointed time. Plan and pace. God had a plan and he had a pace he was unfolding here. So Gabriel says, Zechariah, you're not going to be able to speak for 9 months. I mean, it's been 400 years of silence for Israel, and I've broken that silence, and it'll begin silence for you for 9 months. There's an element of discipline in this, or punishment, but as you'll see in a moment, whenever God punishes or disciplines, it always brings something beautiful out of it, because something changes in Zechariah's heart. You'll see that in a moment. I say that to any of you that might be in the room, and you feel those moments where God is correcting you. Don't run from it, friends. Lean into it. It is proof he loves you. And it is also going to produce good things in your heart, in your life. That's what God's discipline does to each of us. So here he is. Can you imagine? Remember, there's a crowd outside waiting for Zechariah. He's in there talking to Gabriel. They're having this exchange. This is all happening. People are outside. They know how long it takes to burn incense and say prayers. I mean, they're on their iPhones and they're timing this down, because they could tell he's a little late to the party. But when he comes out, they know something's different. He can't speak. I mean, he's playing charades, actually, trying to make sense of it and describe an angel. He's trying to communicate what God had communicated to him. They know this. God has broken his silence. God has spoken, and this man can no longer speak. And so you can imagine the buzz in the community, how exciting it would be for hundreds of years. Priest after priest has walked into the Holy Holies and prayed for a Messiah, and nothing. And today, on an ordinary day, a very old minister walks in, and God speaks. I mean, TMZ Jerusalem would have been all over this one. But in the story, what's interesting is initially nothing radical happens. So people do what people do. They get bored and they move on. But what happens in the narrative is Elizabeth becomes pregnant. I mean, this is like 80 years old. Menopause is distant history in her mind. And she's expecting. Those of you who might be a little older today, just imagine explaining that one. And she's expecting a baby. And she goes into seclusion for 5 months. And it says this in verse 25, that she says, "The Lord has done this for me in these days." Catch that phrase, in these days, his pace. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Personal. Isn't that amazing? In the middle of all this stuff, I mean, the Messiah is coming. The redemption of the world is at hand. The deliverance of his people is coming. And yet in the middle of it, God's concerned about her disgrace. He's concerned about what she's carried around for years. He's concerned about Zechariah, and he answers that and that. It's incredible in this moment. And then when it comes in verse 57, here's where we'll pick it up. We're almost done here. We don't hear anything for 9 months, and Zechariah still cannot speak. And in verse 57, it says this, "When it was time for Elizabeth," it's getting a little weaker each time we do this, "to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared in her joy." In verse 59, it says it's time to name this boy. And of course, the culture in that day and age, you always name that firstborn son after the dad. So his name should be Zechariah. But Elizabeth protests, and she says, she insists, "No, his name will be John." Now, it's interesting. In the text, it says that the neighbors actually begin to fight her on this. Because who is she to say his name should be John? You don't have a John in your family. His name should be Zechariah. So it literally says they went to Zechariah. They went over her head. That's what they're trying to do. And they go to Zechariah and they say, "Listen, you know what your wife's doing? She wants to call that firstborn baby boy John. There's no John in your family." I mean, they're basically saying she's disrespecting you. And the text says this, literally says this, that they brought him an iPad so he could write down, or a tablet. It says tablet, but we'll say it's an iPad. And he says, "No, call him John." And then a miracle happens when he says, "No, we will call him John." You can pick it up in the text there. In verse 64, it says, "Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue was set free and he began to speak." Now think about this, friends. Put yourself in Zechariah's sandals for a minute. If you've been silent for 9 months, and for 9 months, I mean, from the Holy of Holies, seeing Gabriel, to the message of the Messiah, to having this son at 80-something years old, and all of that, when you could finally speak, what would you be saying? Like, I'd be saying, like, "You're not going to believe this." That's what I'd be saying. "You are not going to believe this. Let me tell you, when I went in there, I was shaking in my sandals." But that's not what at all that comes out of his mouth, because for 9 months, he's been listening to God. 9 months, he's paying attention to God. 9 months, he's hearing the voice of God. 9 months, he's sitting there, and he's just going over the events in his heart and mind. And when he begins to sing, and he does when he opens his mouth, it starts with thanksgiving. Just starts with a torrent of praise to God for how good he is. And it goes on to describe, he's delivered us from our enemies, it says. And then he goes into a section of his song. I call it the section, "That's My Boy" section. Because he begins to talk about all that John the Baptist is going to do. The forerunner to Jesus. And what he will accomplish and what will happen in that moment. And then he goes back and here's how he says, here's the words coming out of his mouth. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, that God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation. And he goes to show the pace of God's plan. He goes back right to Abraham. And he lets everybody know God was working on this right back in Abraham. Then he goes to King David. God still hadn't forgotten it. And it came through King David. And now is the time. Now is the fulfillment of all of those prophecies. Now is the time of favor. Now is the time of salvation. I mean, he is stoked at this point. And it goes on to say that Zechariah says of his son, he will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. I mean, Zechariah's song ends with Jesus.
Yay.
I mean, it ends with Jesus.
Yay.
He says this, he'll give all people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of sins. You know what I love about that? All people's a lot of people, isn't it? I don't know how many billion people are on our planet. I don't know how many billion people have lived since the time of Jesus. He came to give all people, every person in this room, across this globe and planet, he knows them intimately, and he came to give them the forgiveness of what? Their sins, personal. All people crowd, but it always comes down to their sins. Friends, what's God's plan in your life? How's this pace? For some of you, you may be here for such a time as this. Maybe today is the day of salvation. Somehow God's been planning and working things. And maybe his pace leads to this moment in this day. I want to do two things. I want to pray with you if that's you, but I also want to encourage some of you in this room. Some of you maybe have been discouraged because you think maybe God's not on point. You wonder where he's been. God's been, you think, tardy at times. You maybe never say this out loud. But Zechariah reminds us, God has a plan for your life, young man. He's a plan for your life, young lady. He's a plan for your life, older gentleman. He has a plan for your life, older woman. He has a plan for your life, even us middle-aged people. He has a plan for our lives. He has a plan and he has a pace. Don't grow weary in doing good. The proper time, pace and plan meet up together, and God's will is accomplished. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus. And friends, I'd invite you, if you're here, maybe just all that the kids sang earlier and the little skit that reminded us of what happened on that first Christmas. And you know maybe that he didn't remain a little baby. He grew to be a man, and he would lay down his life for all humankind, everyone, so that they could experience the forgiveness of their sins, the things that keep them from God. So friends, if you're at this place right now where you're ready to respond to the grace of God, I invite you to pray a little prayer with me. Jesus, thank you for paying for my sin, the things that separated me from you. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of everything I've done that has broken relationship with you. Fill my heart and life with your spirit. Push out all the darkness, all the ugliness of the stuff that sometimes I think about and sometimes I even act on. And instead, God, I want to be in relationship with you, not just in this moment, but for all the days of my life. So, Jesus, forgive me and fill me with your spirit this Christmas 2016. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Friends, if you prayed that prayer, I'd invite you to find a connector after our gathering. On January 11th, Pastor Jan's going to be running a course called Starting Point, just to help you get started in your relationship with Jesus. It's not about getting your sins forgiven in a moment. It's about beginning a journey with Christ. He's a friend that sticks closer than anybody else you've ever experienced in life. He's someone who loves perfectly. He cares about you. So why don't you walk in relationship with him? He makes all the difference. After all, Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not just the reason for Christmas. He's the reason that keeps us getting up each day, because we know Jesus is the light of the world, is he not? Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lamb that was slain on the cross for you, my friend. Jesus is worth celebrating. Jesus brings joy to our hearts and minds. He gives us strength for each day. And Jesus gives us a peace that passes all understanding, because we've experienced his grace when we turned to him and repented. I think Jesus is worth celebrating today, don't you? Would you stand right across this room as we sing about the joy of the Lord that is ours because of Jesus.
You were listening to the Agent Court Church Podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at onechurch.to or search for Agent Court Church in the iTunes Store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the One Church Creative Team.